Jerry at Fair Oaks.
Where is it from here, McLeod?
Oh, about another half mile to the road where we turn off.
All right. Boys.
Yes, sir?
When we get there, I want you to stay in the car until everything is over.
Oh, gee, do we have to, Mr. Wallace?
Well, I realize, of course, that you're anxious to see your friend Harold, but I can't allow you to endanger yourselves, just in case we run into some fireworks.
Fireworks?
I mean a little gunplay, Johnny.
Oh, okay.
That other car right behind us, Linwell?
Huh? Oh, yes, Mr. Wallace. About 100 feet from us.
All right. Now, let me see. It's about 8:45. Yeah, the car will be just about arriving at the Hazlitt farmhouse.
What other car is that, Mr. Wallace?
Well, the boys and Mr. McLeod told us that Corporal Dent figured out that the cabin we're heading for is really an old outbuilding on the back part of the Hazlitt farm.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you're sending another bunch of government men to sneak up on the cabin from the other direction. Is that it, Mr. Wallace?
Yes, Lee, that's right. We'll cut them off from making any escape from any direction.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check up on them right now.
Check up on them? How are you going to do that, Mr. Wallace?
Well, our cars are equipped with two-way radio, Jerry.
Oh, gee, that's swell, isn't it, Lee?
I'll say it is.
Calling Knox in car five. Knox in car five. Come in.
Okay, this is Knox.
Where are you now, Knox?
About 150 yards from the front gate of the Hazlitt farm.
All right. When you get up into the yard by the farmhouse, stand by the car until I give you the word to go.
Okay.
Golly, isn't that keen?
Yeah, better take it a little easy along here, Taylor.
Okay.
Yeah, and turn off your license.
Yep.
That's the road right up there, Mr. Wallace.
And we turn left, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, take it slower than you are, Taylor. We want to be sure the other men are at the cabin when we make the catch.
All right.
Here's where we stop, Mr. Wallace.
Yeah? All right, Taylor, pull up.
Yes, sir.
Linwell, I think it's best that you stay here in the car with the boys.
Oh, but Mr. Wallace...
I realize fully, Linwell, that you too are anxious to see your boy. But with the game leg of yours right now, it'll be too difficult for you to move quicker.
Well...
I'm sure it's best.
Well, all right. But be sure to let me get to him just as soon as you can, won't you?
You bet we will. Come on, Bradley. Joe, Mary.
Yes, sir.
Right with you.
Where did you leave Corporal Dent, Mac?
Right there in a clump of bushes, about 50 feet up the road.
Very well. I'll call Knox and tell him to start over toward the cabin. Knox, in car five.
Yes, sir?
We're on the side road, about 150 yards from the cabin, I judge.
Yes, sir.
What time have you got?
Exactly 8:52 and 30 seconds.
Right. We'll make the catch at exactly 9:05, okay?
Okay, we'll be there.
All right. We're starting up the road right this minute.
See you later.
Come on. Now, keep it quiet from here on.
Oh, that must be Dent. Here we are, Corporal. We'll be right with you.
Hey, did you bring the government man? Oh, yeah. I see him now.
Mr. Wallace, this is Corporal Dent. He's been standing watch here for us.
Glad to meet you.
How do you do?
What's been going on, Corporal?
Oh, not a thing, no, sir. Ain't so much as moved a toe out in that door since that man went in about a half hour back.
Good. All right, you want to join us, Corporal Bent?
Join? Say, you couldn't keep me out in this skirmish with six transports.
That's fine. Come along, then. Easy now, men.
Listen. Yes. An airplane. Look. Look, he's heading this way. I can see red and green lights. Huh. That's funny.
What do you mean, funny?
Well, that there's the first plane I've ever seen over this part of the country this time of night.
It is, huh? Well,
come on. Down quick, though. Yeah. Somebody coming out of that cabin. He's got a flashlight. Say.
He's signaling to the plane up there.
You mean that blinking on and off his signals to that fellow in the airplane?
Yeah, it looks very much like it. Yeah. Now the pilot's flashing his landing lights on and off, too.
Say, that's Morse code. W. H. E. R. L. M. D.
Where land? He wants to know where to land.
That fella don't spell so good, does he?
He's just abbreviated.
Oh, I look to know that man there is running over to the pasture.
You're right, Mac. That's where he's going to tell the pilot to land. Yep, that's it. See, he's signaling. Four dots, it's H. One dot, E. Dot. Two dots are here.
Now, the fellow in that airplane's hitting him back. What's he saying, Mr. Wallace?
O-K. Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, I guess we're going to have another visit.
Going to wait for him, Wallace?
You bet we're going to wait for him.
But what if he doesn't land before 9-5? The other boys are ready for the catch.
Well, we'll just have to take that chance. But it looks as though he is going to land. Yep, here he comes. He's got his landing lights on again.
Yep. He's leaving them on, too. Say, he'll never make it in that stubble over in that field there.
I don't think he will either. He's coming in too fast. No matter what he does, everybody keep quiet.
Look! He's not over. Oh, gosh. That airship's on fire.
Wait, quiet, everybody. Let's see what they do.
They're coming out. They're all running out of the cabin.
I wonder if they'll be able to save the man.
Yes. Yes, they're pulling him out. Let me see what time it is. I don't know whether I can see my watch or not. Yes, the phosphorus shows up all right. It's just 4 minutes after 9. 1 minute more.
Hey, Coles! Stop shouting like that! Bring Hudson in here! Quickly!
Get in.
Oh, you fool!
Mr. Wallace.
Yes, Mac?
That was the man who was in my store when the boys discovered he had a fountain pen.
Yes, I understand. In other words, that's Yorga.
Aye, that's the name, Yorga.
Well, it's a 0 hour, boys. Ready? Okay, come on.
Now, what?
Up these steps.
What do you want?
Oh, so you're Alexander Yorga, are you? Stand up. All right. Frisk every one of those men there.
Where's the lad? Where's Harold? Is Harold in here?
Mac.
Oh, Harold.
Oh, Mac. Where's my dad?
Oh, no. There, Harold. You're not a weep like that. You're a man, my lad. You want to hear your father see you with tingles in your ear.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mac, but please, is my dad here? He's
here, Harold. Come with me. I'll take the program. Mr. Wallace.
Just a minute, Mac. All right. Stand all those men up against that far wall. Well, Mac, oh, well, is this Harold?
This is Harold Linwell, Mr. Wallace. Harold, this is Mr. Wallace, the government man who directed all the goings-on which brought us here to rescue you.
Hello, young man.
Hello, Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Wallace, will it be all right with you and your men if I take Harold down the road a piece to his favor?
You bet it'll be all right. Just a minute, though. I want Harold to identify a couple of men here. All right, let's have it quiet. Quiet! Harold, which one of these men here took you out of your father's cottage tonight?
That one. That one there.
All right, you. Step out. What's your name?
Kajina. Armin Kajina.
All right. Now, Harold, which one of these men drove the car that brought you here?
That's the man. There.
Oh, Mr. Yorga himself, huh? Harold, you don't know how honored you were.
You and your men are extremely clever, Mr. Wallace.
You know my name already, do you?
Of course. It is my policy to know the name of everyone with whom I am doing business. May I congratulate you, Mr. Wallace? I do not know how you discovered us so quickly. A few moments more and we would have been out of your reach. Momentarily, at least.
I don't think you would have been very far out of our reach, Yorga.
And why not?
Well, in the first place, your plane caught on fire as your stupid pilot landed in that field of stubble. And in the second place, one of Harold's friends, Lee Phillips, a cadet from Farrell's Military Academy, removed the distributor head from your automobile about half an hour ago. You'd have had a pretty tough time trying to drive that car. And I'm afraid you wouldn't have gotten very far walking.
I see. At least, Mr. Wallace, we did no harm to the boy.
Did they, Harold? Did any of these men hurt you?
No, they didn't hurt me. They just scared me.
Well, that's quite fortunate for them. All right, Mac. Take Harold down to his father. You'll be pretty glad to see him, won't you, son?
You bet I will.
Okay, see you later, my boy. All right, Mac. Bradley, take them back into town. Yes. Amen.
Come with me, Harold. Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
Where's Corporal Dent?
Here I am, you crazy old coot. What's been keeping you?
Harold, this is Corporal Dent. You didn't make him.
No, I haven't. How do you do, sir?
Oh, hello, Harold. What are we waiting for? Let's get this boy down to see his father.
All right, come on. Your father's been muckle water to boot you, my lad.
He hasn't.
McCloud, of all the crazy nincompoops I've ever met, you're the worst.
What are you talking about, Dent?
Harold! Is that you?
Dad!
Harold!
Oh, Dad!
You're all right, son. Son, come here, boy.
Oh, Dad. Dad.
What do you say to getting us all back into town, Mr. Bradley?
Sure. The car's waiting right here. Come on.
Mac. Corporal Dent. Jerry and Lee.
Yes, sir.
You don't know how much I want to say. Well, that... Oh, you know what's in my heart. I don't really need to say it, do I?
No. There's not to say, Mr. Linwell. Old MacLeod does have something to say.
MacLeod?
Why, your mouth looks better closed, Corporal Dent.
What were you going to say, Mac?
Before I was so rudely interrupted, I was going to express the opinion that it would be a hearty thought to stop off at McLeod's ice cream parlor for a double chocolate nut sundae.
All right.